So it's just 7 o'clock. So we're going to start our regular scheduled meeting. So I'd like to call to order our regular meeting here on February 13th at 7 o'clock. If I can ask the clerk to take the roll call.
Trustee Johnson.
Here.
Trustee Brennan.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Gillis.
Here.
Trustee Bachner.
Here.
Trustee O'Connell.
Here.
President Adusi.
Here. If I can ask everyone to stand to say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, the Republic, the nation, as well.
Okay, thanks, Luke. Okay, so this is the time ask people to speak. All the same issues, except for Debbie Borman. So, but we'll call you by order. So, I don't know. I can't pronounce your. Yes, go ahead. Thank you. No, we've spoken.
Okay. So, good evening, everybody. I'm Dr. Giuseppina Musifora. And my house is in the 1400 block of Clinton. Therefore, I am one of the residents who have been most significantly, and in my case, negatively impacted by the measures that have been implemented on our roads. And specifically, I'm referring to the half cul-de-sac on Clinton, complete cul-de-sac on Bonnie Bray. And you know, this is really beyond my comprehension. The no left turn on northbound Harlem, no right turn on southbound Harlem at the junction with Lemoyne and with Greenfield. So when I inquired in December, I was told that these measurements had been implemented because of a cut through traffic from North Avenue to Harlem. And I was told that the residents had been complaining because there was excessive traffic leading to congestion on the street, leading to accidents, and then there were trucks speeding in residential street. And I mean, you know, overall, it was a really miserable situation. So my understanding, and please correct me if I'm mistaken, my understanding is that the board commissioned a study to a CLOA company, which is very well respected by the board, that had already done previous work on traffic. And it is also consultant to the village in matters that have to do with traffic and safety and transportation. So, I read the report that was finished about maybe over a year ago. And, you know, and this is why I'm here tonight, because really there are things that I don't understand. And I do hope that you guys decided all this will be able to make it clear for me. So for the cut through traffic, this is what the report that was commissioned by you, was paid by us, actually said, okay? As indicated previously, the traffic volumes along Bonnie Bray, Clinton Place, and William Street are within the established standards for residential roads and are consistent with the traffic volume of other residential roadways within the village. For the daily car volumes, which is, you know, congestion, traffic too much, etc., says that the local residential roads have a daily volume between 400 and 1,500 vehicles daily, while residential collector roads have a volume which is higher, 1,500. Therefore, the traffic volume along Clinton, Bonnie Bray, etc., blah, 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 fall within the middle of the established standards for residential roads. So about the travel speed, because one of the problem apparently with these cars speeding terribly on the street, The report states that the internal neighborhood roads had an observed average speed of approximately 15-25 miles per hour, which is lower or meets the posted speed limit. Then the crash data, because I think Mr. Armalas told me that there were terrible accidents where people are lying on the ground screaming, cars needed to be cut open, blah, blah, etc. In fact, with the crash data, according to IDOT, no internal intersection had more than 3 crashes in 5 years, less than 1 crash per year. And there were no crashes on LeMoyne with Bonnie Bray, LeMoyne with Clinton, LeMoyne with Jackson, Greenfield with Monroe. And as for the left turn on northbound, everything is fine, less than 10 vehicles per hour, indicating that that is fine. So this report also made the recommendations. The recommendations are very bland, very benign, and they essentially are add stop signs, decrease speed limits, etc. But what is interesting is that this report also gives recommendations that are not recommended. I mean, I don't know, measures that are not recommended. And I'm reading again. The utilization of right-in, right-out intersection or the use of cul-de-sacs were evaluated by the CLOA company. At this time, it is not, and I repeat, it is not recommended that these measures be implemented. So I have here copy. I do not remember. Just 10 of them. And as you can see, that is cut and pasted. That is not my summary. That's a cut and pasted. So, you know, at this point, I'm very, very confused because my understanding is that the village spent $16,500 in this report. The report made clear that the cul-de-sacs are not recommended. And then what happens is that, I don't know, they all of a sudden come up. So it is, in my view, then there must be people, you guys, who have a better qualification than the expert who actually did the study and wrote this conclusion. So I, at this point, I have two questions for you guys. The first one, what are your qualifications in overriding?
I just want to make sure, so you understand process, and it's my, I'm sorry, I should have been more clear in the beginning. This is, you know, this particular, anytime you have a public comment, this particular item is not on our agenda, so we won't have a discussion around it, but we do want you to present your point of view. That's what we're asking you to do. And we'd like to limit it to 5 minutes because we want to.
That's not true because I looked at the last meeting, for example, and there was a person who spoke for over 8 minutes.
Yeah, well.
Let's be precise. Secondly, this is my first meeting, and I had an email with you, and you told me if you have a question, problem, whatever, come and tell them. So I'm here, and I'm telling them. And, you know, the thing is that there was this report that was paid by us. You guys completely overrode whatever it was. So I simply want to know, what are your qualifications in fact of traffic, safety, etc.? And the second thing, which is more important, actually, you know, I think that you must have had very good reason for overriding these things. And clearly, they are not the accidents, the whatever it is, that were the anecdotal evidence that came first. So what are these reasons? What are the reasons that you guys had, fact-based reasons, to, for example, put the cul-de-sac? Why? So because at a certain point, unless you have fact-based reasons, which are very good, very strong, and therefore there is a reason to override the report, this turns out to be just a very arbitrary decision from your part. And, you know, when the whole thing has cost a total of $70,000, and the next year my taxes are going to go up. If you guys make arbitrary decision, I want to know what they're based on, mm-hmm. which is because you're managing our money. And that's it. Oh, no, that's really not. I have another thing. I asked, this is another thing I don't understand. Some people were informed about this. And about all these changes, these traffic things. Other people in my block, nobody knew anything. So it looks like, I don't know, I hate to say, I don't know, I don't want to use the word discrimination, but certainly there are favors and there are no favors. Like, you know, true, this is not an animal farm, but some residents apparently are, I don't know. But anyway, so I asked the people of the 400 block to sign the letter. They did it. They are not here tonight, but I'm not the only one that was very unhappy about this thing, and I really would like to have eventually, sooner or later, an explanation of why the report was overwritten, and secondly, what are the reasons that you guys have for this reason for the blocks on my street. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, the next speaker is Catherine Byrne. And again, I ask you to try to stay within 5 minutes so
okay.
that everyone can have a chance.
Good evening. My name is Catherine
Thank
Byrne.
You.
I'm a resident of River Forest. I've been a resident for over 25 years. I live at 1411 Clinton Place in River Forest, Illinois. I raised 3 children there. I've never had any type of problem with the ingress or egress from North Avenue or Harlem Avenue. There is turning signs that prohibit you from making left turns at certain points of the day during traffic time, and there's never been an issue. I came back from the airport almost a month ago, and my street was blocked off. I couldn't go right onto Clinton Place, and it was very confusing to me because as a resident here, I get notice about all sorts of things, but I didn't get any notice at all that my street was going to be blocked off, that this was even being considered. And that there was going to be these major changes in our quadrant of the neighborhood. So it was concerning to me. I've read the report that this Paula made. It seems to me it was a very thorough study. They made recommendations. None of the recommendations that they made were making cul-de-sacs or blocking off the streets and preventing ingress and egress. None of those were even made. In fact, they recommended that those changes not be made. So I guess I don't know if I'm late to this party because I think this, it looks like it started in October of 2021, and I'm just hearing about it now. I would, since it's affecting me and my streets and my neighbors, I would like to be involved into the decision. It seems that there was a $16,000 cost that was incurred for a report that we're not following. So I'm curious as to what that's about. I'm also curious as to the cost of the police that have been around the block consistently giving tickets. I have to text all of my friends saying, oh, you can't go this way on North Avenue. You can't go this way on Harlem Avenue. Ubers get confused. It's just kind of causing a lot of chaos for the people that live there. And it is not helping our living situation. I think it's causing reaping more havoc than good. So I guess I would like to know what I need to do to weigh in. I know that this is just, we're giving our opinion here, and this is the first you've heard from me, but it certainly won't be the last. And I'd like to know what steps we need to take to prevent this from moving forward, like some type of freight train, and to erase the steps that have occurred already.
Let's get through all the speakers and I'll try to address what your next steps would be for sure. I promise you that.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay, we got up Debbie next, so Debbie Borman.
Good evening. Thanks for letting me speak again. Good to be back. I am Debbie Borman. I live on the Lathrop, that. I'm also speaking on behalf of our neighborhood organization. Last week, a letter, did not realize that it would not be read into the record. I appreciate that it was referred to, but I just want to new issues and then a couple of issues that I raised in my letter. So my first issue is that there is a labor dispute going on. The TIF demolition site apparently is in residence with Scabby the Rat. Scabby will be up on the corner, on the southeast corner of Madison and Ashland, while Anthem is working. So my questions are, in terms of the bidding process for demolition, it appears that the contract was not awarded to a union shop and that Scabby will be in residence for the demolition, according to the union. My questions are, how does this labor dispute impact the demolition process and timeline? I went ahead and reviewed the prevailing wage requirement provision in the River Forest purchasing policy, and I noticed that the policy was apparently lifted from Wilmette's policy, as Wilmette appears in page 9 in the middle of the page. There's also a few errors in the provision regarding the proper name of the act, the citation to the act, and to the Department of Labor website. So I'm sorry I don't have copies for everyone, but if you just want to circulate modifications to your policies, suggested modifications, that'd be great. All right, so that's about the labor dispute. My second point has to do with the issues I submitted by letter for the February 5th board meeting. I just want to review a couple things. It was a really long letter, so again, I appreciate your reading it and your consideration. The first one, on behalf of those of us in our group on Lathrop, and specifically Ed and Chrissy Pogue, who could not be here tonight, is parking. So Ashland and Lathrop have a few different parking issues that we've discussed in our neighbor meetings. They're different for each street. On Lathrop, what we have is a considerable amount of parking by Pete's Auto. They park from anywhere from 8 to 12 hours a day directly in front of homes. The parking restriction on that street is and has always been two-hour parking. It is not enforced. Want to know if specifically during the demolition, when Pete's used to park behind the buildings that are now being demolished, if that parking restriction will be. Ashland is a little bit of a different story. Our issues, as I laid out in my letter, are that it's very narrow. Both the streets are narrow, but Ashland seems to be narrower. Parking on two sides of the street, there's been a number of issues of side swiping if a neighbor parks their car on the street. And also on Madison, since there's the demolition, but also 15-minute parking has been instituted. There's a lot more vendor parking on Ash, both sides of the street. So what we had raised was, would there be some kind of restricted parking for the duration of the demolition? Just to go on the record, the LAF is not, you know, looking for any kind of like permanent resident restriction on that street. I think it says something like residents after 5 p.m. I'm not sure. So our issues are overlapping, but they're the same, and we're working together as a neighborhood. Finally, I just want to confirm that the stained glass and the perforated concrete are going to be preserved and taken down. Mission group, which I don't. And I know that there's been some efforts in conjunction with the commission to try to find someone to take those pieces. Just want to make sure that they're.
On that, because we've got a lot of people here that want to speak, I want to make sure that Matt will connect with you on these three, especially the labor dispute, the parking. The preservation of some of the building, which. Okay, so we'll move ahead to Robert Amalas.
Hi, my name is Bob Amalas. Hey. didn't have a lot of time to prepare for this meeting tonight. I do want to clarify one thing. The accidents that I've witnessed, people lying in the street, Bachner has also. The accidents are on Lemoyne, Harlem. Erica can talk to me, and there's a lot of accidents and accidents. But you use my name. I said that, but I just want you to know it was on Harlem. But
so, go ahead and address the board.
My apologies. Thank you for blocking the streets. They're quiet now. Went through a lot of work with the commission. We have a commission through 3 meetings. We have a group of people that had no idea these people were going to, that folks would show up tonight. I think we would have too. We're happy. We compromised on this. We would have liked to see both Lemoyne and Greenfield completely shut off. Still would. 1,500 cars a day is over a car a minute. We were getting a lot more than that, and those cars weren't from River Forest. Leaving trash, they were running the stop signs, speeding. That's our experience with this. Have a nice evening, and thank you for blocking the streets.
Okay, Dr. Novak?
Dr. Shauna Novick, I own Novick Orthodontics on 7351 West North Avenue. This was very eye-opening in terms of what has come out with this report. I, too, was not aware of any of these changes to Clinton Place just up until recently. And, you know, I also had the same questions because, obviously, if safety is of concern, then, of course, changes should be made. But it's very relevant right now that the report that was done is indicating that the safety aspect of this is not playing a major role in this blockade. So I'm just here to tell you that, you know, on behalf of myself owning a business that is now in this corridor, as well as the other businesses that are in this corridor now, it's just causing a lot of issues for us with our patients, you know, convenience of not only my patients getting to the office and leaving the office, but myself getting to my own office and leaving the office. And the pathways that are available to these patients are not built for two-way traffic. The alley is not built for two-way traffic. And, you know, there's a lot of other issues that our patients are facing to even get themselves to the practice or out of the practice. A lot of the cars that are turning in from North Avenue onto Clinton Place are now kissing each other in this little corridor. That's causing major safety concerns, not only for the traffic flow that's happening there, but patients that are walking back and forth from our offices to their cars. You know, I was very happy when I found my little building on the corner of North Avenue and Clinton. I bought it for the location, and I bought it based on the availability and the convenience factor of my patients and myself, and that has been taken away, and that's been taken away without regard to my say or my knowledge of any of this. So that's what I really wanted to bring to the attention of the board. And so I am asking that this be reassessed. And I understand if safety is a concern, you know, if you want quiet streets, I think that's one thing. But, you know, the true fact is if safety is an issue, let's figure out how to make the streets safer in a way that does not compromise the residents and the businesses that are trying to sustain in that area. Bob Novick, I don't know.
We live in a major lighting up all the streets. It's just because I drove down the alley today from Harlem. Cars turning in opposite directions. They don't know which way to go. There's one business is completely cut off from any other side traffic. Multiple businesses are now completely cut off from aspect of it. We don't understand why we didn't know about it, where it's going to go, out or say, like, when are these decisions made and how they're going to be made and how are they going to see. Everyone's worried about the residents. What about the businesses? On a lot of this stuff.
Now, the fact of the matter is we're dealing with the public. You know, there have been, you know, some correspondence back and forth, advise your patients where to go, how to get there, different routes. But, you know, we're dealing with the public. They use Google Maps. This is not conducive to the information that they're – it's not sustainable. It's not possible for me to contact every single person to tell them how to – so the fact that, you know, even this is not supported by, you know, the platform that people are using to travel and to get places, you know, it's really, really causing chaos and it's causing an issue. And it's not making it for us and limiting access. Our businesses and also
our yes? Okay. Working at it.
Yeah. Good evening. My name's Jonathan Pants and I'm a resident here at 1137 Park. I love this town, but I do think that right now two blocks in the community are benefiting to the detriment of the rest of the community. I'm referring to the barricades on Clinton and Bonnie Bray off North Avenue. These barricades hurt River Forest for two reasons. Number one, the barricades hurt River Forest businesses. And number two, the effect of the barricades causes a safety risk in neighboring alleyways. First, the barricades hurt River Forest businesses off of North Avenue, as it makes it difficult for customers, patients, and employees to even access these businesses. Because of these barriers, many customers are deterred from bringing their tax dollars to River Forest businesses and instead are implicitly encouraged to spend their dollars elsewhere. I don't think we want that. This affects well-established businesses in our community, ranging from Cassidy Tire to Politis Periodontics. River Forest and the rest of the nation are entering a recession, so it is imperative that our village board enacts measures to help businesses during this difficult time, not hurt them. The closure of even one of these businesses would mean that our community lost jobs, lost tax revenue to fund our schools and roads, and a loss of services that our very community needs. We cannot afford that risk. You know, the argument in favor of the barriers is unconvincing, to be frank. The increased quiet enjoyment of property owners on Bonnie Bray and Clinton from one less driver cutting through their streets from North Avenue is minimal at best. Furthermore, not only do these barriers fail to improve the safety of the roads, as proponents presume, but the barricades actually promote dangerous driving. Second, the effect of the barricades are that they pose a safety risk. Before the barriers were created, the alleyways parallel to North Avenue were used almost exclusively by pedestrians. Ever since the barriers have been in place, there have been a proliferation of cars zooming down those same alleyways. These alleyways are also used by pedestrians, whether they are employees parking their cars, customers taking a quicker route to the businesses, or everyday residents going for a nice walk. More cars on these alleyways means someone is going to get hit. This is a ticking time bomb, and we must act now to stop it. In summary, these barricades serve more harm than they serve good. The barricades hurt our businesses through making it harder for customers to access them. The barricades are unsafe as they promote driving on cars used by pedestrians. If you, the board members, seek a pro-business River Forest. If you seek safer streets, come to these barricades. Members of the board, tear down these barricades.
Good evening. I'm Marika Panton. That was my son. I'm at 1137 Park, which is right intersecting with Division. So I'm the second house of the corner there. Am I too loud? I'm sorry. Okay, because it sounds reverb. So now that all of this traffic is switching off from the North Avenue and now it's coming down to the parallel Division, it feels like there's so many cars, the heavy traffic now, it's like there's a constant funeral going on daily. I don't know if there's a wedding procession or a funeral going on. It's saturated with cars left and right. Now, we have two issues here. I'm going to focus on the Lemoyne and the Greenfield. Okay, North River Forest is saturated with this traffic, what we said, diverting a Division. We also have on North River Forest, the Fenwick Fields, the Priory, a lot of children doing spring training, baseball, softball, and the soccer, which will be underway very soon in March, April, with practices, kids getting out of cars, parents, buses, extended family will have a hard time getting to the Priory Park since Lemoyne and Greenfield are set up with these barricades, so only access will be going out southbound on Harlem Avenue. We have to also understand a lot of people who go to Fenwick, these neighboring areas here, they're not from here. So they're going to get all confused and tangled up. Where do I go? Like you said, the Google Maps, whoever said that earlier, Dr. Novak, I think you said it. It's going to be a whirlwind and a confusion. So again, families will no longer be able to go northbound or southbound access on these fields off of Harlem, which will, again, create a lot of traffic with the buses. That's where Fenwick has all of their games, their home games, I should say. Also, a little small thing. I understand, was there a four-way stop removed on Clinton and Lemoyne? What was the reason for that? Okay. I mean, we should always be stopping. It's dangerous. There's a lot of kids. So I guess she answered that, but I don't think we should get rid of stop signs. Again, North River Forest has six schools as opposed to South River Forest that just has St. Luke and Lincoln. Roosevelt is kind of in the middle. We're not going to include that. Six schools. That's Concordia, Dominican, Trinity, St. Vincent, Willard, and Grace Lutheran. And a lot of those, all of those schools are off of Division, which means that it's a packed street. Nobody can access anything. It's going to be like a tanglement. So it's very dangerous to be closing streets when there are so many children with activities, and now parents have to reroute and do different things coming from work. Let's say they're working in Riverside, Illinois. I mean, it's going to be a disaster, and it has been a disaster. And the alleys have been saturated with cars instead of what should really be in an alley is utility trucks, ComEd, AT&T, the Roy Strom or whatever the garbage companies are. So what can we do to have some solutions here? Okay, instead of always complaining, let's try to think of ways to work together to avoid this saturation of, you know, these street closings. How about better signage? Maybe take away some of these one ways. Maybe put some speed bumps. That also, is a deterrent to people coming in. I mean, you see it on Lake Street. When you go to the Lake Theater, there's a bump there. They're in Forest Park. Forest Park on Madison, excuse me, and on Lake and Oak Park, there's a speed bump right there in front of the theater. That is also one way to stop a lot of people from speeding and things like that. There's no reason why people should be getting ticketed left or right now, because they're fighting. It's like a maze. This village has turned into a maze. Maybe have more four-way stop signs, like we said before. We need to have maybe flashing stop signs. That's also something that, again, at night, there's not a lot of lighting at night here. It's very dark. We need more of that flashing. That'll also get people to wake up and see that flashing light. Or those digital speed cameras that you see when the police have, like on Thatcher, like slow down when you're starting to go a little quicker. There's all sorts of things to reduce traffic and speeding and all the vehicles. And all of these, I think, would create people to less enter River Forest who aren't familiar with it, because it would be a deterrent. The other thing is, I mean, I'm not an engineer, but isn't there a traffic engineer who is looking into all of this? I mean, is it just people who are just stating, you know, opinions and not having, you know, any, you know, have a, what do you call it, who are the specialized in this?
I can address
that. I mean, I'm not talking about just a technician. I'm talking about like a traffic engineer.
Yeah.
Just like when stoplights are going on, they're timed.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for the timing.
Yeah.
All of this has to take place. It's kind of like an algorithm.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's pretty much what I have to say. Lemoyne and Greenfield, that is so just not necessary. If you're trying to get rid of, you know, riffraff or whatever you want to call it, people find their way into villages. You don't have to put barricades. People, if they really want to be, you know, troublemakers, they'll do whatever they can. But there's other ways to eliminate crime. I mean, there's crime everywhere.
Yeah.
Not just here, River Forest.
Right.
Could be anywhere. I think that's it for me.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you,
Marisa. All right, Stephanie?
I'm trying to be brief. I know you guys have listened to it a lot, and as you can hear, for a lot of us, it's an emotional issue. I'm new to the area. I'm at Greenfield and Clinton. So I have small children, but I also watch some elderly people walk early in the morning before the sun comes up and things like that. So it concerns me. But I'm also looking out my window right at Greenfield. The speeding persists. Okay. I've asked the police to come at certain times that I noticed some particular violators, I'll say, who are speeding so fast I can't even tell if it's a man or a woman driving the car. Whether or not these people live here, you know, it's a public street. I think everybody should be allowed to use the street. I don't think it's right to try and keep people out of the neighborhood who are following the law. Also, there are plenty of people who live in the neighborhood who are not following the law. So I am also highly inconvenienced by this arrangement. I also think it's more dangerous, both turning off of north now. I have to go to William, and at that spot, people heading eastbound on north, turning into Binney's, block the traffic, so I can't see who's coming eastbound on the street, and nobody abides the 30 miles an hour, so they're going 50 miles an hour, and I can't turn with my kids into my neighborhood. I'd have to go all, I mean, I don't even know. I too get confused about, okay, oh shoot, I missed Division. Now I have to, what do I do? I guess I go up to North and now I go down to William. And so then there's the increased traffic on William. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I know people who live on William who are like, yeah, but the stop sign helps. I thought, yeah, the whole reason I even came to know about this is because I said, why isn't there a stop sign here? Why are people being allowed on this wide street to accelerate to 50 miles an hour? Mm-hmm. For these two long blocks, this is a neighborhood. Why aren't there stop signs? And then when I saw that the stop sign that I heard was going in at Clinton was instead put at William, I was very dismayed. And then, as someone else pointed out, the one on Lemoyne being moved, more stop signs are better. This will discourage people. And as the woman who just spoke said, sure, some speed bumps. I don't like speed bumps. I prefer stop signs. But what was the goal? I think that's the thing that everyone's trying to get at. What was the goal? You know, I think the evidence-based study has shown there weren't more cars going through our neighborhoods than there were others, and there haven't been more accidents than there are in other areas. I too believe that what has been done is more likely to result in accidents and lawsuits against the village. I don't think it's a good idea, and I think it should be removed very soon. I understood, Ms. President, that you said this wasn't really what was anticipated for discussion today, but if you would please let us know when a good time to raise it would be, because I think we all would like to be informed and be able to weigh in on what goes on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie. And that concludes, I think, unless Phyllis is on. Okay, Phyllis?
Muted, Phyllis.
I know. It takes time. It's slow. Hi, everybody. I will be quick. I don't think Lincoln Lathrop is on your agenda either, but I'm giving you a report anyway. So what my neighbors have seen, because they overlook the site, is that work has been done and then undone. My neighbor saw them sawing concrete that had been poured. So when concrete's poured, it's poured into a mold and it's poured the size that you want it. They're cutting it. So something was wrong. And so they've had to correct what they already did. Apparently they dumped soil into the site. Now they're taking soil out of the site. And they're putting gravel in the site. However, they're tracking mud and gravel. So as I'm listening to everybody else talking about this other problem up on the north side of River Forest, I'm realized that I'm talking to you about this was just the report on what was going on inside the Lake and Lathrop site. Outside the Lake and Lathrop site, the mud and the gravel are being tracked on the sidewalk. Apparently the sheeting is blowing again. I haven't seen it. I haven't been walking in a while, but that's the report. And so things are being done and undone, which means I think we're at zero in terms of that much progress. So my question is, if you want to tell us, we can't do anything now until something happens and either it's going to get built or it's not going to get built. You can tell us that. You haven't said that to us, but you could tell us that. Otherwise, I would say to you, when are you going to demand that they come to the board meeting and give you a report and answer some questions? And that's all I have to say.
Thank you so much on that. So let me just, for those that are here for the traffic issue, first of all, I want to say thank you for coming and, sharing your point of view. We all, I think, believe that everyone's point of view is important. But I also want to also say that, as I think you mentioned, we've been at this since October of 2021. And I think many of you asked, what's the process? We didn't know anything about it. And for that, I'm sorry. We really do try to communicate as best we can and as often as we can, either through our own website, through the village newsletter, through, neighbor communication, through postcards and so forth. So we tried to do our best to get to all of you, and we're going to continue to work to make that better. I'm not saying it's perfect, but we do try to get as much information and as often as we can out to our residents. So I would just ask that on any of these issues, please visit our website, please read our newsletter, please call our village to ask any questions that you want at all. But saying all of that, I am going to kind of put Jeff on a spot a little bit in terms of timing and process so that you all know what you all need to do to get involved with this process and what the process was and where the discussions would go, like a stop sign, for instance, would go to the Traffic and Safety Commission, to give you an example.
Other issues like speed bumps and other things are discussed at the Traffic and Safety Commission. We do a great deal of discussion, and we do hire consultants to help us. So I think the staff and the board and I try very hard to make sure that we get the right information and make the right decisions and get the communication out to you all. But saying all that, there's apparently, you all didn't get that. So we'll let you know where we're at, and we'll let you know what other processes there are so you can get involved. And then we'll also say, we've been at this for 2 years, and chances are, we're certainly going to make things better if we can, but we're not going to reverse and go back, to square one either. So with that, Jeff, could you let the audience and the residents know and the businesses know that, here's the places they can go to also have this discussion, because these discussions are real important. Jeff is our public works director. Get to know Jeff. Jeff Loster is right there. Raise your hand. he manages most, but not all, of our infrastructure, streets. Traffic happens to be part of that.
Sure. So as Kathy mentioned, we've had multiple steps along the way here, and again, always working to try to create better communication. So we'll continue to do that in the future. As of right now, the changes that were temporarily implemented up north, those were ordinance-based changes that were approved here by the board. So to quote-unquote undo any of that would require further board action. Where we're at right now in terms of the, we'll call it the project, which does have its own webpage on our village website. So you can go there, see detailed exhibits of each intersection, of each change, and there is an email address up at the top of that page for our staff engineer, Bill Koklanis, who is soliciting input from anybody who wants to provide it at this point. So that's kind of the interim placeholder for anyone who wants to provide input. In addition to that, on Thursday, we issue our weekly newsletter, and in this week's edition, we will have so we're also doing a village-wide traffic survey right now, and part of that study will include a survey open to the public. That survey will be open as of Thursday's e-news. So pay attention to the e-news, because you'll have another avenue to provide additional feedback as part of a larger data set. And by the time next month, so we have another traffic and safety meeting March, I think it's 15th, it's the third Wednesday in March. That's another opportunity for public comments on this project, on these changes. And by then, we will have a solid month's worth of data from the traffic survey that the commission will be also able to discuss at that meeting. So those are the next steps. As President Adusi mentioned, it's the website, which has its own page. And I think you can get to it just by going to the village webpage and searching Northeast Study. So we can take feedback through that. And then as of Thursday, we'll have a survey open to the public as well. And then the traffic and safety meeting in March on the third Wednesday.
So I encourage you all to go to do all of that. I mean, that's the process that we do. So we can make it as, open to everybody, because every side of your story, there's another side of another story. So we just try to, work it through. Yes. No, it's a great question, and I'll answer it only because I think it's important to answer it. All of that was actually debated and discussed, and I will be happy to send you the recording. But we have board meetings. We put out agendas on the website. Right. They didn't have the note card, I think, of what of the discussion. Yeah, the businesses didn't get it, Jeff? Okay. Just the 1,500. Go ahead, Jeff. The whole block. Okay. Again, I'm trying not to debate it, because this won't help. What helps is us to have a process so that we can get to a solution. I don't think it was ignored. I think it was discussed, and that's what I'm saying. It was discussed, and I'd be happy to send you the recording of that board meeting as to what was discussed and what decisions were made. Kathy? Often it's listening to residents. So often it's saying but there was another group of all of you here just 2 months ago. Okay. So what I'm saying is, well, because we always want to see all sorts of different perspectives. Not necessarily. We take pieces and parts of a report sometimes. Yeah, and that's fine. I mean, I understand that that's a difficult thing to... Well, it's fine. In other words, it's fine to have our opinions. I get it. Here's what we're... Again, there's a process, and I'd hope that you guys would all please, you know, look at the newsletter, look at the website, look at the commission. No, I think what I said is, yes, the decision has been made, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we don't, you know, tweak things or make things better. I mean, you know, Stephanie talked about a stop sign. I mean, there's no reason why we couldn't consider a stop sign. Okay. All right. Again, I'm trying to be, you know, I'm trying to do business here. We've got other things on our agenda. And like I said, we want to hear from you and thank you for coming. Keep involved through these other processes, and you know, we are going to discuss other things. So we will have a discussion on other things. Yeah. So here's what we'll do is we'll send you both the commission had that conversation and the board had that conversation. So we'll send to you, because we have your emails, where that occurred, and so that you can hear it and listen to it and read it and do what you feel is appropriate.
Kathy, I think it was
thank you.
Robert Liska wrote an article about it, which I've just accessed.
Okay, good. Thank you.
On January 25th, River Forest traffic concerns addressed by.
So it's been in the
January 24th village board meeting.
And one thing just to reiterate, there is a traffic and safety commission that meets every month when there's business to be had. It's like discussed in great detail amongst the traffic and safety commission before it came to the board. So to Kathy's point, there is a process in place, and the traffic and safety commission will take into account the input received from studies like this. But they've also, some of these members of these Traffic and Safety Commission have been on there for a number of years. So they understand kind of, you know, what the consultants, you know, what their recommendations are. And they will sometimes enhance and augment those decisions. And we, you know, we, I guess, empower our commission to do what's right for the village. And we then, again, they bring our... their recommendations to the board, and then we consider them again. So I would really encourage anybody that has traffic and safety issues to start there. And again, Jeff used to run it, and now who's the new person? Bill runs it.
So. Okay. The next meeting.
It's the third.
March 15th, the next meeting. They meet every other month.
So.
But.
I don't remember the date of the meeting. That's why we'll get you all that. I mean, yeah. Again, we're trying to solve a problem on the fly, and you're going to say, oh, we gave you the wrong date. So I just want to make sure that we give you the right date.
Yeah, I think it was in October, November.
So that they met many times.
Yeah.
We'll get you
all the information.
Date.
We've got your email. We'll give you when they met, where you can look at the audio so you can listen to it yourself. But more importantly, it's, you know, if there's an issue, again, I keep looking at you, Stephanie, if you feel there's a stop sign that should be there, let's talk about it. We put 80, almost 90 stop signs around River Forest. So we're not afraid of a stop sign. We're just trying to figure out what's best. That's all. But if there's a need for a stop sign, you know, certainly we'll consider it. There's need for speed bumps, and we could talk about that in length because we have as a board. There's, you know, pros and cons to speed bumps as well. So we'll have all those open conversations. I mean, we continue to want to do the right thing, for
and
sure.
Kathy Vankinette.
Well, right now the blockades are up because by ordinance, as Jeff talked about, you know, so anything, any kind of tweaks to it, like I said, you talked about alley traffic.
Right.
That's probably an issue we might want to address at the commission to talk about how do we make the alleys more safe. Yep. Yeah, we're just waiting for the material to come in. Yeah, I mean, the board voted on it. Yes.
Wait. Everybody has to remember, excuse me, has to remember we have a village-wide traffic study that's going on.
Right.
And so that was what Jeff was addressing. And so the timing, so the results of that may render a different decision when we get the results of it. So it's going to, it's did this for this, at this particular area, but something may change when the whole study comes out that we can't do this or we can do it.
Yeah.
Jeff can answer that
question. Yeah, Jeffson, we'll send you. Okay, we're going to move on to our next.
Yeah.
I don't want to, Jeff.
Okay.
You know Jeff Lauster, you can reach him at the village board. Oh, well, it won't happen between
9
and 50.
Okay. And please.
That was a question. I'm sorry. I misunderstood your question.
Yeah.
No. No. Yeah, yeah. Go. No, yeah. Nothing. No, it's still. No.
But.
Not at this point. But, okay. I think we'll move on. Go ahead. Rev.
Just one more comment. Please listen to what Jeff said. The survey, an opportunity for a survey to you to complete, is coming out on Thursday. Please take advantage of it. That's your opportunity to add your input by responding to the survey in addition to the March 15th meeting.
Again, I think you're being told you want to hear something that we're not prepared to say because the. And we're saying we don't know until many of these things happen. And so we recommend that you stay engaged, read the newsletter, read the newspaper, do the survey. There's many aspects. I don't know how else to get to this point if you won't at least hear us. Okay, Catherine, and then I will ask, then this will be the last, if you don't mind. Thanks. Well, no, that's a whole survey for the whole town.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of addressing your issue, Marika. Mm-hmm.
How much are?
I don't know. We just had that earlier. Was it
total cost of the plastic barricades?
No, the permanent.
Oh, the permanent. The capital improvement plan is budgeted $165,000.
That would be all the. Second.
Correct. Yeah, that would be putting curb in and making.
And the other thing you might want to do, I mean, again, I know this is not going to make you happy, but at least it will give you a direction, is I don't know if you've gone down Oak Park, North Avenue to Oak Park, but it's Oak Park.
Saying this is not Oak Park.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying that if you wanted to see what it would kind of look like, I guess is what I'm referring to. Okay, so I really appreciate you all coming. If you have any further questions, you know, please reach out to us. No, I said what they look like. No, I'm not suggesting we're anything near what they are. Okay, so we'll move on to our meeting, and now we are elected official comments and announcements. Okay. So, Erica, do you mind starting?
Thank you, Kathy.
You're welcome.
So I'd like to begin with a land acknowledgement. As we begin, we are mindful that we hold these meetings on land that was once and still inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, Chippewa, Menominee, Potawatomi nations, and more. We will remember our nation's history and honor the Native people as stewards of this land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. I would like to say happy Black History Month to everyone. And there are a multitude of opportunities in our area to celebrate and learn more about our American Black history and culture. So I hope that you all take advantage of that. I do want to acknowledge and congratulate Trinity High School. They have a robotics team, which is the first of theirs, called the Blazer Bots. And they recently, at a regional competition, won the Judge's Choice Award. The award was presented to the team, and the judging panel meets during the competition, whose unique and outstanding efforts and performance and dynamics merit special recognition and display exemplary sportsmanship throughout the season. So very exciting for Trinity High School and that team. So congratulations to them. And that is it for my comments today.
Great. Thank you, Erica. Yeah, I'll be quick. I went to the WCMC breakfast with the new deputy police chief, the fire chief, Kathy Aducey, and Matt. It was good to see all the villages work together toward common goals. It is how many members in that village?
In WCMC, you know, 20-some-odd, 26.
Yes, quite a number of communities all working together to achieve goals for the western suburbs of Chicago. So thank you for offering to have us come together for that. And second, the Greentown Climate and Equity Conference. Please put it on your calendar for Thursday, June 22nd, 2023. I am going to give these flyers to kind of keep with the should people want to come up to the village and they, you know, want to take a copy, that would be great. The interesting thing is River Forest, between we have three members on that committee, so we're a big, you know, kind of part of the team trying to pull it together. So thank you to everybody for making it happen, and happy Black History Month.
Okay, just one item. Good evening, everyone. As the April 4th election is coming around the corner, you're going to start seeing some forums that are coming around now that COVID is not as extreme as it used to be. The Oak Park River Forest High School candidates, there's four candidates who are running for three seats. There's going to be a forum at the Dominican University at Martin Recital Hall. On February the 16th at 7 p.m., it might be definitely interested to go and see the candidates and listen to them, and might help you.
Nothing further to add. Thanks.
Yep. I'm going to shorten my comments tonight. I can save something for the next meeting. Following up on Lake and Lathrop. I had mentioned at our last meeting, which is on the 23rd, that the website, our village website, says that the foundation work installation was supposed to have been completed by the week of January 17th. And I didn't check in the last couple of days, but when I did check a few days ago, it wasn't updated since then. Do we know if they've actually completed that?
They have not completed the foundation work. There is a new update up there on Friday or over the weekend, but we did confirm that the foundation work is not completed yet, but they have begun work on their underground detention.
Oh, okay, because that was the next step.
Right.
Okay, great. Thank you for that, Matt. Yep. And then just, again, sort of imploring our staff to keep inviting the developer to our meetings, because clearly we've got residents who have ish concerns, and it would be so helpful for them to be able to hear these concerns firsthand and for us to be able to ask questions and them to be able to answer and to have a dialogue and to, you know, help that relationship along. And this other thing is that the Winter Film Festival is coming up in a couple of weeks. Starts on March 3rd, ends on March 12th. This is the largest environmental film fest. It was started by a couple of local Oak Park and River Forest residents. It's in its 12th year now. So I think what I'm going to do maybe, Luke, is send to you the information about the film fest. You could put it up on our website. There are some in-person and some remote film watching opportunities. There are some with ticket price and some that are free, but a suggested donation. Some of the films are for ages 3 to 6, some are for ages 7 to 12, and some are more for teens and adults. So keep an eye on the Village website for more information, but March 3rd to the 12th.
I'm going to make sure that we get that in.
I will also keep my comments short, given the time. Also, I would like to acknowledge Black History Month. And also, I would like to welcome Matt Walsh to this first meeting. I'm looking forward to working with you on the DEI committee and have great expectations, which I'm sure you will fulfill. So thank you.
Thanks.
Very good. All right. I really don't have much. Thank you, Lisa, for mentioning the West Central Municipal Conference. Breakfast is probably the largest one that they've had, and it is good because mayors and legislators and many of the elected officials come together. And it's the first time, actually, that we saw on one stage all the leaders, both leaders on one stage, really talking collaboration. So there's a lot of good hope for the state of Illinois. That's pretty much it. I know we have a proclamation for Black History Month that's on our agenda. So happy Black History Month for all of us here in River Forest and around us. And that's all I have. So we'll go ahead and move on to the swearing into our deputy, which is a very important.
Yeah.
So I'll have Chief O'Shea please step to the podium, and our clerk, once he's ready for you.
Good evening. As you, as the Madam President mentioned, we're here tonight to swear in James Greenwood as our next Deputy Chief of Police. This is a very exciting evening for the police department, and I know it is for the residents and also the entire Village Board. I'd like to give you a little bit of background on Jim. Many of you know him through his tenure here in service, but I'd also like to mention a few highlights of his career. Jim started his career here in River Forest back in January 6th of 1997. He has held the positions as patrol officer, detective, patrol sergeant, detective sergeant, and patrol commander. And with patrol commander, he is only the third patrol commander in the history of the police department. Jim was promoted to sergeant back in 2013 in May, and then patrol commander, as I mentioned, in 2018. He's also served as a juvenile officer, investigator, evidence technician, range instructor, taser and rapid deployment instructor, and a field training supervisor and coordinator. Jim attended Northwestern School of Police Staff and Command back in 2018 and received the very coveted Kreml Leadership Award. And that's an award that's selected by his fellow peers that also attended the program. In attendance to that program are law enforcement officers from around the country. And that says a lot when your peers are not just from local, but from the entire country. Jim rose through the ranks based on his exceptional performance. Deputy Chief Greenwood, as we've been calling him over the last week or so, understands the needs of the community and the department, plus understands the importance of partnerships, collaboration, and outreach. Tonight, Jim has his family here. Up front here, we have Jim's parents and cousin. Next, we have Jill, Jim's wife, Ryan, Maddie, and his in-laws are in the back row. They are also residents, constituents, voters, just for the board to be aware of. And also, I'd like to point out, besides the members of the department that are here tonight, to show their support. We also have some fine, astute representatives from the Bellwood Police Department that are in the back of the room that are here to support us. And we're glad that we see some of our local agencies that we work with over the years, and especially those that have worked closely or may have grown up with Deputy Chief Greenwood. At this time, I would ask the village clerk to step up with Jim here for the oath of office and for the pinning of the star. We are going to have Maddie and Ryan that are going to try not to hurt their father. But first the oath of office.
I state your name.
I, James Greenwood.
Having been appointed to the office of Deputy Police Chief.
Having been appointed to the office of Deputy
Police. In the village of River Forest.
In the village of River Forest.
In the county of Cook.
In the county.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Illinois.
And the Constitution.
I will faithfully discharge the duties of.
And I will faithfully discharge the duties of.
The office of Deputy Police Chief to the best of my ability.
The office of Deputy Police
Chief. Congratulations.
Thank you.
We're excited.
Good news.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh my goodness. President, so I think it's probably interesting.
Yeah, it'd be just us.
Yeah,
you know, it's so funny.
Like, maybe not the in-laws. I think everyone else. Maybe not the Catholics, but like everybody.
Right. Yeah, we're
Yeah. Where's that Guinness, Bob?
Oh.
Oh, you know that.
Yeah. I've gone there before.
It's the deep end.
Oh, yeah, no.
I went there like.
He's a deputy. Yeah, we had it. Yeah. Okay. All righty.
All right.
Now we'll move on to our consent agenda. This is just us. if I can hear a motion to approve the consent agenda item A through F, please.
Motion to approve consent agenda items A through F.
Second.
Any comments or questions regarding these consent agenda? If not, if the clerk could please read.
Consent agenda A. Sorry about that.
Of course.
Village Board of Trustee meeting minutes, January 23rd, 2023. B, January monthly finance report. C, accounts payable, January 2023. $1,775,912.10. D, department reports. E, administration department report. F, Black History Month proclamation. Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So we will go on to item number 9, new business. And we would need a motion to approve 9A, if I can get a motion a second. And
I would like to make a motion to approve the purchase of a Dodge Durango for the fire department from Dodge Chrysler Jeep of Highland, Inc., not to exceed the price of $50,373.81.
Second.
Chief, is there anything you want to say? Or, I mean, maybe there's no questions. Any questions for the chief? All right. Hearing no questions or having no questions, I'd ask the clerk to vote. Take the vote.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Okay.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Thank you. All right, so 9B, if I can get a motion and a second for 9B.
Motion to authorize an agreement with Braniff Communications, Inc. for the replacement of outdoor warning siren equipment not to exceed the price of $35,193. A minute, you scared me. I thought
not
it was a comma. I go, wait a minute. I reduced it.
It's really cool, though.
So. I like that.
It's the European way. They use
exactly. Wait a minute. Second.
Yeah, oh, thank you. I got so confused about the price.
Exactly. Wow. That was my first question.
Yeah. So, any? You're not up there for the siren, are you?
I am.
Oh,
really?
Wow.
I'm just going to be up there the rest of the night. Yeah, so the village currently has two outdoor warning sirens, one here at Village Hall, one at the pump station. We purchased those original units in 2010. We have some additional hardware and software here in the basement at Village Hall to control those sirens. There really haven't been any substantive upgrades to that system since it was purchased in 2010. Hence, we've been having a lot of issues with it lately, especially the last year and a half. We reached out to the current vendor who is out of Milwaukee. A lot of this system is proprietary, so we have to use them. And just it's a difficult relationship. They're not very responsive. It's costly because they charge us for time and traveling from Milwaukee to get here.
It's just not been a relationship that's serving the village's best interests at this point. So not to mention the fact that just to continue using our existing system at this point would require a $10,000 software upgrade. We're already into it for $10,000 no matter what. We recently, in talking to Chief Gardner and some folks over in dispatch, we started kicking around the idea of getting a new vendor in to assess our system and figure out what, if anything, could be reused or what would need to be upgraded if we tried to get away from the current proprietary system. Braniff is kind of the only other game in town as far as that goes, especially in this area. Dispatch and Chief Gardner are aware of other municipalities in the area who are serviced by Braniff and have nothing but positive things to say about them. Shout out to Braniff. Braniff came out and did a whole assessment of our system, and that's basically what's before you here this evening. We talked about keeping the system components that we can reuse and replacing the ones that we can't. So the agenda item here tonight is just that, replacing the proprietary portions of the system that would have to be replaced and at its current age probably need to. This kind of puts us in a more proactive situation relative to our outdoor warning siren, which is obviously very important. We've been very reactive over these last 12 to 18 months. The monthly tests that we're all aware of on Tuesday mornings at 10, sometimes a siren or the other one just doesn't go off. And so we're constantly kind of chasing after it. New system that we're proposing is a much more proactive system. It runs its own diagnostics. We can, there's an interface. We don't have any kind of interface to the system as of right now, but with the new system, we'd be able to see what's going on before there's actually a problem. And there's some redundancies built in here as well. So that essentially is what we're looking to do, upgrade the system. We were going to budget for it into the next fiscal year, but given that severe weather season is coming up, we would like to get the system in place and have a little more faith in our outdoor warning siren system before that severe weather hits us this year. So, I'm happy to answer any questions. So I did reach out to Braniff, and no, he assured us that, and this was a couple of weeks ago, I said, look, we're trying to do this within our current fiscal year. He said, it's not a problem. We absolutely would have this installed by April. I didn't get the closest date, but that was just the other end of the bookend, but certainly before.
Quick question. What's the name of the original vendor and where they're from?
Right in Milwaukee, or just outside of Milwaukee.
With this new system, I would like to ask, it seems a little bit silly, but around, or if it's going to be different to residents in any way, maybe there are communications that we out to residents that they are aware that it's going
sure.
to. I just know that, like, when I hear anything different, I don't know,
right.
Like, am I supposed to do something
no,
different?
No, no, you're absolutely,
you know,
is it going to be different?
No, and
I thought so, otherwise it.
Plus, the fact that we're keeping our existing sirens would lead me to believe that it's going to be the same.
I mean, people don't know what they are now, so we keep telling them what they are. I get more calls, and I'm like, oh, it's practice.
Well, and because they're so hit or miss, there's not a consistency to it either. So it'd be nice to have something that would a repetitive schedule. Yeah. People would
especially
probably be more familiar with it.
I hear more. All right. Yeah, sounds good. All right, any other questions for Jeff? Hearing none, if we can take the.
Trustee O'Connell? Trustee Johnson?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Let's move on to 9C. If we can get a motion to move 9C in a second, then we can have.
I move we approve a resolution waiving the public bidding process to enter an agreement with Monroe Truck Equipment and Trans Chicago Truck Group for purchase of two tandem axle dump truck bodies and corresponding chassis for a cost not to exceed $451,628.
Second.
Okay.
The Public Works Department has two large dump trucks that are in need of replacement this year. They're at or well beyond, in one case, their useful life, and they're starting to generate some significant maintenance. Now, both of them are, actually. These trucks are two of our workhorses. They're heavily involved in our snow removal operation as well as just everyday use in terms of, you know, we're getting into more underground excavation and hauling materials and leaf season or tree. They're just very general purpose, very helpful and useful general purpose vehicles that we've become very reliant upon. One of these vehicles is actually 26 years old. The original plan was, of the two vehicles tonight, one of them was supposed to be the other one's replacement back in, I think, 2012. But we, at the time, elected to pour some money into the older one and try to see how long we could limp it along and see if we could put it to work. And obviously, that's kind of paid off for the last, you know, 12 or 13 years because it's been an integral part of our fleet. Again, the problem becomes now they're both starting to generate maintenance costs and they just are both in need of replacement. As you're all aware, getting vehicles at this point in time is no easy task. Brian Skozik, who was here earlier this evening, he's been extremely diligent in constantly reaching out to vendors that we've used in the past, people from state bids and joint bids that are available to us. A lot of people aren't taking calls, like literally aren't taking calls, won't put anybody on a wait list. It's just a really difficult position to be in as somebody, as a group that needs vehicles, as we've seen with some of our other fleet vehicles in fire and police as well. So as it stands, this combination of these two vendors here tonight, they're the only ones that we've been able to contact that are even willing to entertain the idea of kind of putting us on a waiting list, if you will. This isn't even, we've got a truck ready to go. Do you, you know, River Forest, do you want it? This is, yeah, we can kind of throw you on here and as things, as time goes on, as materials become available, you know, lined up for you. These two companies have provided multiple pieces of equipment for us in the past. We've got a good working relationship with Monroe and Trans-Chicago. Don't really have any concerns about dealing with them as entities. It truly is the only option we have. And we don't have to commit to this, but by the same token, if we don't, you know, where does that put us? Because we're already looking at a delivery time of 12 to 18 months minimum. So we're just trying to line this up. They're budgeted items for FY24. We're trying to line this up so that we can maybe of them within FY24, but we might even end up pushing beyond that. So given that, that's why we're trying to seek pre-authorization for these vehicles tonight. And I should note the documents that are in the packet, the pricing obviously is for one unit. For one dump body and one chassis. If by some miracle we can try to get two out of them, since we need two vehicles replaced, that's something we were just going to try to seek authority to do so that we don't have to, you know, put in another several months at minimum delay in obtaining that. A bit of a unique situation, but you know, with everything that's going on as far as material supplies and vehicle lead times, we're just trying to kind of work with whatever options we have. And I do want to point out, this isn't something that we're going to, you know, if we get authority tonight, we're just going to close the book on and we're done because we got our vehicles. It's something we would continue to reach out to vendors. And if we do get another or better option in the future, we'd certainly try to pivot if that's something that serves the village. But right now, this is the only one.
I just have questions. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
About the contract. I don't know if we've had our attorneys look at this or if you are considering this or not, but it seems like we don't have any warranty towards the vehicle. If something is wrong with it, the company says, like, if something happens and it's due to that being, like, not working correctly. I don't know if you all that or and have any opinion on it, or if our attorney has any opinion on it. I'm very uncomfortable with that.
Understood. Yeah, and I'd have to verify this. My understanding is that these companies aren't, so Freightliner is the manufacturer of the vehicle. Bro is not offering an additional warranty. So, you know, they're taking two parts. The people we're working with are giving us the dump body and the chassis, but they're not the actual manufacturers of those parts. So those parts still come with a warranty. We're just not getting additional warranty by the people who are putting everything together for it. However, as far as in the last decade that I've been here, we've not had any warranty-related issues with any vehicles.
further questions for Jeff? Okay, good stuff. If you could please take the vote.
Trustee Johnson?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Okay, so the last one is 9D. If I can get a motion and a second on this.
I move to adopt a resolution authorizing the village to participate in an application for a raised discretionary funds grant with the Village of Oak Park for the Harlem Avenue multimodal bridge replacement project.
Second.
Yeah, great. So, Jeff, this is
So starting back in 08, the Village of River Forest, Oak Park, and Forest Park all started working together to try to get some momentum on replacing that very, very old railroad bridge at Harlem Avenue. I believe it was originally constructed in 1911. So the project stalled out several years ago. A push was made last year to obtain some DCEO funding to complete. We were stalled out in phase one engineering. The big hurdle at this point is UP requires a lot of money to even kind of look at and consider, you know, permit plans, if you will. And we need an IGA essentially between IDOT, CTA, METRA, UP, and the three municipalities. So that's why the project stalled out, I think, a couple of years, 2 or 3 years after it started back in 2010, 2011. We made a push last year. I re-engaged with some of the representatives from CTA, METRA, and UP just to kind of lay the groundwork and let them know that we were going to be making another push. And then in August of last year, we applied for that DCEO funding. I think it was $245,000 to complete that phase one work. The bulk of that would go towards trying to get those IGAs in place. In addition to obtaining the rest of that phase one funding, we were approached recently by Oak Park staff who reached out to a consultant to see if there was any feasibility in applying for these raised discretionary funds for construction and construction engineering costs. So what's before you tonight is basically River Forest agreeing to pursue this grant application, the raised discretionary fund grant application, and then fund our portion, which is 25% of that $15,000 at $3,700. That gets approved here this evening. We're just sharing a letter of support and that resolution with Oak Park, who would have to then package that together with Forest Park's documents, Oak Park's documents, and I believe the application is due at the end of this month. That's a great question that I can't answer, because we've talked about it as the project team multiple times over, and I agree. I think it is UP, but IDOT has kind of hinted at some other things because right of way too. But to me, with a railroad involved, and the bridge is serving the railroad function, I would assume it's UP.
Is that a fair statement?
Well, I have found railroads in general to be somewhat difficult.
No pun intended, but we got railroads.
Well, the difference here is that there will be state and federal toward this project. So, you know, he is very interested. There's reasons for them to participate.
Early to tell at this point. I mean, like I said, I laid the groundwork probably a little less than a year ago, and one of the conversations I had was with UP's representatives, and I wanted to make sure, because the conversation I was having with them last year was, look, this project stalled out many years ago because of this IGA issue. We're looking to kind of get that going again. Are there any red flags at this point that we need to be aware of before we start down that path again? They didn't really share any with me, but that's a long process to play out.
But as you said, the $250,000 that grant money that we got was just to do the intergovernmental agreement.
Right.
So think about that. I mean, hopefully we come out at that end with an agreement.
Absolutely.
So if we don't, then we just wasted $250,000.
And we are working with, in addition to the three municipalities, we're working with Dave Shannon from HW Lochner, who was the engineer starting back in 2008. So there's a really good, you know, I came in 2013, the project had already stalled, and I was starting from there. there's a really good history between Oak Park and some of their staff having been around since the beginning, and the consultant who's still involved in helping carry that ball forward.
The idea that we are 25% because we are one corner.
Park carries 50% for us.
Quick question that's somewhat relevant. Who owns all the other bridges?
So the UP line would be owned by UP, but then we've got the CN tracks that run north-south through town as well.
So who's responsible for the maintenance of those bridges?
And we got to them. I know personally on a few occasions in my tenure here, hey, we've got some concerns about the structural integrity of this, that, or the other, and they provide an assessment that usually.
Yeah, the issue, just to interrupt.
Oh, yeah, we've had
briefly,
that debate with them.
Okay. So the railroads own the line, and they have strong protection, federal preemption, so you can't cite them for local code violations or anything.
Okay. I don't want to cite them. I want to be there. It all falls down.
Yeah, well,
they say it's structurally fine.
All right.
Yeah. they have a whole lot more lawyers than we do. So yeah, this is a nice next step. No, that's all right.
So to speak.
Right.
So to speak. Any other questions regarding the Harlem Bridge?
No, I just have a couple of comments. I know this is a long time waiting, and. Kudos. I know Kathy, you and the mayor of Forest Park and Vicki as well with Oak Park, with the staff too, is very, I mean, if it wasn't for that, this probably wouldn't even get this far. But I know there's also communications with both our Don Harmon and Chris Welch, which helps a lot too. So again, going on this momentum that we've been talking in the past with this board is working with other public bodies and then our state legislators, and of course the staff is included well with that. So thank you, Kathy, for doing that as well.
Yeah, well, and Jeff staff Jeff. And the Old Park staff, right. And everybody involved. So
some effort.
Yep. All righty. So if anybody else got a question?
Trustee Bachner.
Yeah.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes. Okay. All right. Well, that it concludes. We do not. We're not going into the. Yes, please.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell. President Adusi.
Yes.
Being adjourned.